Where do you find the best country, bluegrass, and gospel music on the internet? NBRN.FM. 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 Your home for internet radio. All day, every day. Every day. You're listening to Real Country Legends with R.B. Renegade. Real Country Legends, where the past is never forgotten.
At my door, the leaves are falling. A cold, wild wind will come. Sweethearts walk by together, and I still miss someone.
Joining me today on Real Country Legends is a individual who is responsible for one of the most unique and recognizable sounds in country music. He is Bob Wooten, responsible for the boom chicka boom style that was significant with the Johnny Cash music. Welcome to the show, Mr. Wooten.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you called.
Now, I understand that yours is a story somewhat of getting the opportunity to play with someone who you would follow for a long time, but being in the right place at the right time, perhaps.
Yes, I've always credited it to being, you know, at the right place at the right time. You were lucky. I wasn't lucky. I was destined, you know. I'd practice and practice and practice and until it just, I mean, that's all I wanted to do anymore, you know. It's not just because I was lucky.
No,
of course, I didn't know I was training for, you know, to go to work for him, because I never even thought about going to work for him. I just loved the music stuff, you know.
Now, unfortunately, Johnny's original guitar player, Luther Perkins, had passed away in a house fire, but that's when you basically got the call, and you had already had that sound down pat.
Yes, sir. I probably did those same songs more than John or Luther or any of them, because I did them as they were doing them. I mean, as soon as the record would come out for sale, I'd go run and buy it. And within 2 or 3 days, I was doing that song on the weekends where I worked. So it was just something, you know, that just seemed to happen. You know, like I say, I was at the right place at the right time.
All right. Now you have you've continued the tradition on. You were one of the original Tennessee Three, and you continue to perform as a Tennessee Three. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, I do. Well, I didn't know what I was going to do after John passed away, because, you know, I wasn't what some people would call a great musician. So, you know, wasn't nobody beating my door down. But after about 6 years, I got a phone call one day from a guy in Minnesota. Said, we sure would like to hear you, you know, for you to come to Minnesota and let us hear that sound again that you created for John. You know, I said, no, I'm not jumping on that bandwagon. He said, well, you've misunderstood me. So let me start over. He said, we've been doing this for 5 years before he ever died. We were doing a Johnny Cash tribute thing. It was called Cash Only. And if you got up, you had to do a Johnny Cash show, I mean, song. And so I said, fine. They sent me a plane ticket. I went down and had a wonderful time, and the crowd accepted me. Like, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And it blossomed from there. So finally, got a couple of guys together. We cut a little record, and that, but we didn't tour very long because some of them didn't like traveling so far, you know, to do a show. Sometimes you have to drive 3 days to do a show and then back home, you know, but that's it. That's being in the music business, you know?
All right.
And I finally started having to find me somebody else to play if I wanted to go. And my wife Vicky played with the Carter family. That's where I met her. And one night we were doing a show in Jackson, Tennessee, and W. Eskimo said, Vicky, won't you play with us tonight? So she did, and he said, Vicky, won't you join the band tonight? And so she did. I mean, he was responsible for her going on the road with me, and, you know, and of course his wife got to go, and of course she didn't sing, but you know, it was nice to be able to travel with your family after all the years you didn't get to, you know.
Right.
And so Vicky just turned into a great part of the show, and then we have a daughter named Scarlett. She first time she went on stage with Gene and Carter, doing With the Circle Being Broken. And she just got the bug after being on stage and getting applause and stuff. She thought that was so neat. And so she's part of the show, and she's writing her own stuff and doing her own thing, but she works with us. And we got a 12-year-old daughter named Montana Lee that writes her own songs, and she's going to be, probably going to be, they're saying she's going to be the next Taylor Swift or Mel, or Montana Banana, whatever her name was.
All right.
I can't remember her name for some reason.
No.
Now, one Miley of the things, Cyrus, anyway.
One of the things is too is that you have a eerie similarity to the physical appearance of Johnny Cash yourself. When you you perform, I think there's many people look up there and think they're seeing a ghost.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. People say, oh, if I close my eyes, I would swear Johnny Cash was up on that stage. And I've had people come to me and said, you know, I went to 30 concert to see Johnny Cash, and said you don't lose nothing when you're up there. They tell me, you know, they said I sound like him, I look like him, which I don't mean to do, you know, it just happened. We're both from Arkansas, both Cherokee Indian, both Pisces, both raised in the same religious background, you know, and it's like we were brothers all these years, but he was just 10 years ahead of me, you know.
Well, that's one thing as a lot of folk maybe not realize, even though you did work together, you were best friends. And
yes.
One of the most notable experience of your career, I would imagine, was that you participated in the famous live San Quentin State Prison album.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. That was something else. It was spooky, but it was good. It was well worth the trip. You know, made people happy. It don't see much.
Now, with the Tennessee Three now, do you are you still traveling around quite a bit around the country?
Yeah, matter of fact, we're leaving this weekend, going up to Laughlin, Nevada for a week, and then there we go up to Canada for a few days, then back home, and then in October we're going to Europe.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you have spent some time in Europe and in Ireland and other places, and
I go to Ireland
over there.
I go to Ireland a lot. People just, they love it. You know, they're like the Americans. They come and say, you know, I never did get to go see Johnny's show, but now I feel like I saw it, you know.
Well, the European market embraces traditional country music so much as well.
Oh, yeah. This guy here in the States, I can't think of his name now, but he tried and tried and tried to get in the music business. And so this guy called him and said, I'm doing a show over in Ireland. Why don't you come go with me? The people loved him. Now he owns a big mansion up on a hill overlooking beautiful valley there in Ireland, and he's a big superstar over there. But
wow.
In America, nobody knows who he is.
Wow. Now, this is about you and not about Johnny Cash, but I am going to ask you, is there one particular memory that you have of Johnny and you together that you care to share?
Well, you know, there's a lot of times that we would spend hours and hours. We go fishing and not talk, you know. And it was like my mother, when you went fishing, you weren't supposed to talk, supposed to be quiet, you know. But John, that's when he did a lot of his thinking, you know, and writing. And he'd, we'd go fishing, like I say, and sometimes we'd be an hour or so out there, and somebody'd say, well, did you get one? Or, have you got a bite yet? But that was content of the conversation, you know. But when
right.
It was over with, when you got on the bus and sit down, or went to his house to dinner, or went out somewhere with him and June to eat, you know, it was a whole different thing. He was just a guy, yeah.
Now, if folks want to follow you, you do have a website. You want to
yes.
tell folks about that?
Yes, at Tennessee3.com, and it might be on AOL. But anyway, it's Tennessee3.com.
Yeah, and it is a great website, I'll tell my audience, because I visit there often. You hear your music, and it's just great. Real Country Legends, my show, is about preserving traditional country music and its legends. You are one. Created a sound that I can't imagine anyone, even a non-country music fan, wouldn't recognize, and it's been a distinct privilege to have you on my show today. I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you calling. It means a lot to me.
Well, I taught the weeping willow how to cry, and I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears I cry for that woman are gonna flood you, big river, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die. Well, I met her accidentally in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it tore me up every time I heard her draw, southern draw. Well, I heard my dream went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport, and I followed you, big river, when you call.
took you to St. Louis, later on down the river. Freda said she'd been there, but she's gone, boy, she's gone. And I found a trail in Memphis, but she just ran up above. Raised a few eyebrows and went on down alone. Now don't you batter down by Baton Rouge, River Queen, or rolling on. Take that woman on down to New Orleans, New Orleans. Come on, I had enough. Wipe them blues down in the Gulf. Hey, she loves you, big river, mom, me. Taught the weeping willow how to cry. I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears I cried for that woman are gonna flood you, big river. I'm gonna sit right here until I die.
You've been listening to Real Country Legends on NBRN. Join host RB Renegade every Sunday morning for more greats from the past. Until next week, let's keep on keeping it country. Keeping it country. Keeping it country.